One of the greatest debates of all time isn't the battle for the North or the Iron Throne. It's the property versus shares. Who will win, John?
Bring it on.
Welcome back to My Millennial Money, and good day to you, John.
Good day to yourself, Glenn. All
right. Now,
we're in the, it's like a boxing ring here. You're in the red corner, I'm in the green.
But I'm a lover, I'm not a fighter.
Same.
And there's no right or wrong in this.
No.
We're fact finding, we're not fault finding.
Correct.
So, yeah. That's, you know, it's just a bit of a discussion.
Yes.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had a little live event in Sydney. And it was a lot of fun.
It was.
And all you Melbourneites, I know you're jealous, but we are coming to Melbourne.
We are.
So, if you want to come to our live event in Melbourne, it's going to be on Thursday the 20th of June, which, just so you remember, John, that's 4 days before my birthday.
Jesus.
But I'm sure your alarm in your phone triggers a week before, so you'll be aware of that.
Correct. Well, my son's birthday is a day before yours, so
sweet. Okay,
it's easier.
Sweet. So, will you ship my present down prior?
No, I'll give it to you when you get home.
Okay. Just checking. So, yeah, sure. Come along, jump on Instagram, hit the link. You'll see tickets to Melbourne in there. It's under $30. You'll get food, you'll get drinks. John will do some property teaching. We answer all your questions in relation to anything to do with money, shares, investing, property. We actually don't really have a theme for the night yet, but we might continue the whole rent vesting thing.
Yeah, took off pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah.
And if you're out there not in Melbourne and you want an event live, grab the mobs.
The what?
The mobs of people.
Oh, yeah. If you can get us an audience, we'll perform.
Because we like to travel.
Yeah, it's cool.
Glenn usually gets up the pointy end. I'm more down the back in the cattle class.
No, I'm humble. Anything under kind of 3 hours, I'm happy to stick it out.
Yeah, sure.
So that's all.
So, we're not going to Perth in a hurry.
No. I like Perth. Perth.
Lovely.
And you've got to know that we want to do all these live events, but we can't do it for three people.
No.
Because it just doesn't...
No.
It's just not happening.
Maybe six.
Maybe six, yeah.
You're listening to My Millennial Money.
I think if I could choose any occupation out there, I'd probably be a barrister. You know, on the weekends, you're there in front of the espresso machine, making coffees for people. But on the weekdays, you're putting the system on trial. You know, that sounds cool.
One thing a lot of you don't realize is that if you are working, you've got superannuation. Probably everybody already has indirect investments in shares.
Yes.
So, number one.
Unless you're self-employed and you don't contribute to super.
Yeah. But most of the time, people didn't leave school and go self-employed. So, you will still have a super fund. So, and that's just one little thing. Like, people think, oh, what shares? I don't know anything about shares. Well, your superannuation is made up of shares.
Hmm.
So, what I thought I'll do is do an episode today about shares versus property.
Yeah.
Now, going out on a limb to say that, John, you want to take care of the property corner.
It's a good water cooler conversation, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's really popular. And I mean, there's pros and cons to both.
Hmm.
And I think we're just here to have the discussion, get you thinking.
Yeah.
And your strategy might be a bit of both. It might be one or the other. You might like one or the other.
Yeah.
So, there's no right or wrong.
No. It's not your fault if you like shares. That starts it off. So, let's get it going.
Yeah. So, I need a
Yeah. So, what do you got?
How do you want to do it? Do you want to do it... Do you want to just have the property segment first and do the pros or cons, and then I'll speak for the share people out there?
Why don't we do one for one?
Okay, one blow for another one.
Yeah, that's it. So let's talk pros.
Jab, jab, hook.
That's it.
Okay. So John, what is a pro to investing in property?
Yeah, and I'll go with the one that I logically chose 20 odd years ago, and that being with property, you can touch it, see it, feel it. You can walk through the house before you buy it. You can, you know what street it's in. You know what suburb it's in. You can look at its historical data and touch it and do everything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just tick this off my list. That was actually one of my cons for shares, just to save time at the other end of it.
Okay.
So, if you invest in a share, obviously, you get a... You probably don't even get a hard copy bit of paper share certificate anymore.
Yeah. No, you don't.
You get an email and say, there you go. So,
and it's got a password that you can never
remember. So, yeah. A share is not a physical... I can't drive past my share.
No. No.
I would hypothetically say I can drive past CBA branch and see the branch is actively working still, if I own CBA working. Shares. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, one of the big pros for you is it's that I can... touch it. I'm actually buying a physical asset.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I think one of the pros for me for investing in shares or going down that road is the liquidity of the factor.
Yeah.
So, if I, and we'll just say you had a $400,000 investment property and I had a $400,000 equity portfolio.
Yeah.
If something went down and I needed $100,000 for something, I can carve off $100,000 worth of shares.
Almost instantly.
Almost, you know, within 3 days and, you know, get on with my life. Whereas a property, I probably have to sell the whole property. And if it was an emergency, you've got the risk there of having to fire sale that property.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
and that, again, is one of my negatives for property.
Right.
Is the... non-liquid
This is
going
to be a very fast episode.
We're going to be done in about 5 minutes here. Yeah, the non-liquid nature of properties is definitely a downside. But, yeah, the cool thing, the shares is liquid. Let's and it's getting quicker, isn't it? Like within some 24, 48 hours, you've got it
and
done.
And if you've got like managed funds or something like that. See, in the background, how managed funds work, and I'll just divert quickly. So, if there was a managed fund, and listen to episode 206, so I don't have to repeat myself, and we go deep into shares on that episode, it's all kind of computer-based, so they'll always have liquidity in the fund for withdrawals, so they don't actually have to physically sell shares sometimes. They just net out. So, if $10,000 were invested one day by one person, $10,000 went out the same day, they just wouldn't invest $10,000 that day.
Yep.
That's very simplistic, but yeah, the liquidity is there, and it is happening faster.
Yeah. And I think if we can go back a step and I suppose pre-frame this conversation, we've both got shares and property in our...
Yeah. And I was going to drive it home at the end. So, thanks for wrecking the freaking podcast that you should, in your strategy, if possible, do a bit of everything.
Well, let's come back around on that.
Because we can camp there. So, what's another pro... or advantage, and while John's, because John can't think off the top of his head, he's actually not, he's using it. Samsung Notes now, and he's not on pen and paper anymore, so it's a big day for John.
Well, only because it was raining outside and I couldn't take the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a positive for me with property is you can leverage high. So, you can, in a lot of cases, when I first started, you could actually borrow 100% or more of the property, which meant that the money into the to the investment was quite small, meaning that I didn't have to spend 5 years saving money.
Sure. Mm. And it's funny, we are, John and I, again, if you've heard some of the episodes, we don't discuss any of this before the episode. And in fact, we probably, I wrote this down 5 minutes before John got here, my points. And so, we're pretty much on the fly. But it's interesting that a lot of these things, we are kind of in sync because weirdly, that was a negative of shares.
Yeah.
And I'll swing back around to that, but it's around the leverage because I want to talk about that in greater detail.
Sure.
But yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it can be easier to borrow for a property.
Yeah. And if we're in a debate situation with a final sentence or comment for both, the big one to me logically says, well, if the banks are prepared to lend up to 90% of its money of its value, or 95, or sometimes 100,
sure,
not in today's living, but it has a lot of faith in the Australian asset. Property, the asset, doesn't
yep.
it?
Yeah. Yep. But also to counter that, it's a lot more clinical because there are deeds involved.
And yeah.
Yeah, there's... I don't know where I'm going with this. But yeah, it's a lot more kind of physical asset. We hold a deed, which is the land or the ownership rights. Yeah. We can litigate. It's easier to manage with a big, blunt instrument.
Yeah, but as long as you're doing the right thing and ticking the boxes, i.e. repaying the loan or repaying the interest, you've got that property for as long as you want it. It's in your control.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, I always, when people say, I don't own my property, the bank owns my property, like when they got a mortgage, yeah. I go, no way, I own my property. It's Glenn James. It's in my name.
That's right.
However, the bank has an interest in it. And
a very strong interest.
A very strong interest. And, you know, if I don't pay up, they can legally take my house. So,
correct. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you own your house, you own it and there's a mortgage over that property.
Yeah. It's funny when I look at the comments in Facebook and the questions within our feed, we look at what should I do with $10,000 or $20,000? Well, me 20 years ago, that was my deposit. Like $6,000 literally was my first deposit. So we're in how things
But you're
change.
Bloody almost 70 years old, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still a millennial.
Yeah. So, my second positive, and it's kind of along the same lines, but it's a low barrier to entry and you can get invested tomorrow.
Yes.
And that kind of goes into it like-
Yep, minimum amount.
Couple of grand or some of those micro investing apps, $5.
Yeah.
So realistically, if you wanted to get started investing tomorrow, you can get started with $5, set up a monthly automatic feed and just start pumping money into your investment.
Yeah.
So it really is a low barrier to entry.
Yeah.
And what we find that a lot of people do, and I get a little bit ranty about society and I'm just as guilty as this, I don't want to wait for crap.
Yeah.
I want to just get it happening. But what we can do is, as part of, you know, your broader strategy, like if you're living in a capital city and you want to buy there one day and you want to get invested, it might be that we're just saying out loud strategically, we're not buying for the next 5 years. Yeah. So, we're going to pump an equity portfolio and save our deposit that way.
And
that's one way where it might be another way to do the whole rent vesting thing and what. So, yeah, really low barrier to entry and you can kind of drip feed your investment.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
weirdly, when people say, I can't afford to buy property, that's an emotional thing, John, like because you could technically, with $2,000, set up a CommSec or E-Trade account and you could buy a listed Australian property trust. So, you could invest into the property asset with $2,000 and then you're invested in property. So, if I've got $500,000 and it's I'm talking about as an investment property.
Yeah.
With my investment money, my asset allocation is 100% property.
Mm-hmm.
I could take my $2,000 if I didn't have that $100,000.
Yeah.
If I didn't have that big investment property.
Yeah, I did have a deposit.
I could take my $2,000, buy a listed exchange-traded fund, property trust or whatever with $2,000 and still have 100% exposure to property.
To property, yeah.
Jokingly, I've said to people, if you want to buy property, just buy like a listed property trust or buy Westfield.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's right.
I mean...
Yeah. And there's you can buy bricks now too, can't you?
Yeah. Is that Brick X thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a property trust.
Well, it is, but it's the same concept, right?
Yeah, and I just... It's all in the marketing. I can see straight through it that they're just getting people to invest in a property trust.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing special.
Other than they get a brick,
yeah. I don't know. I'm not here to shame them because I actually haven't looked at the detail.
Yeah,
and I just think they've basically gone out to the first home buyers. Because remember I said that emotional thing. You've got to buy a property.
Yeah,
they've just gone out. Oh, you can buy a house or a property.
Yeah,
but all it is, it's a unlisted or property trust.
Yeah, it's clever marketing.
It's clever marketing, and I think that's all it is.
Yeah.
So, do you have any other pros?
Yeah, so my third and final.
I've got four pros, but whatever.
You asked me to do three.
I did.
This is a ripoff.
Well,
nah, you can't give your fourth. No way.
No, I'll just tie it into 3D.
Well, this three is going to trump your fourth, fifth, and sixth one anyway.
Sure.
Everyone needs it. Everyone needs a property. they either need it to live in as a tenant,
mm-hmm.
or they need it to buy and own and have it as their own. As a negative for shares, not everyone needs a share, right? So
I can counter that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody needs to buy groceries. Everybody needs a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy shares in those companies.
You can.
So, are you talking is it about a supply and demand thing, or like there's always going to be a need for a tenant?
Okay. So, yeah. No, I'm not talking supply and demand, but I'm talking logically thinking. If I buy a business in selling...
snake oil.
Snake oil. Does everyone need snake oil? No.
I don't know. Your business does all right.
Does everyone need cigarettes? No. Does everyone need alcohol? No. Mm. Does everyone need a house to live in, a roof over their heads?
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%. It's next to water and oxygen.
Yeah.
So, down the level, about 456,000th is shares.
Sure.
Not everyone actually needs a share.
No.
Now, they can go and buy a share in Westfields or groceries or alcohol or whatever, but everyone physically over the age of 18 going forward needs a roof.
Yeah, I get that, but it's, and I want to just camp here and talk philosophically.
Yeah. So when you're camping, you still need a house, right?
Yeah. I don't like camping because I don't like to pretend I'm poor for a week.
You'd be glamping for sure.
No, but okay. I absolutely, totally get that.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about it's a crap pro when we're using it as an investment discussion.
Why?
Because the fact that everyone needs it,
yeah.
Does it actually... Okay.
Well, that's what drives the supply
yeah, that's right.
and demand theory anyway.
Absolutely get that. But I'm just saying if I've got $500,000 to invest,
yeah.
I want to get something with the best return.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs a house.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can buy a house knowing that it's a good investment.
Yeah.
Okay. On the other hand, if I don't want to buy property and I want to buy shares, I can invest in CBA or Woolworths because they'll always be... Like, if CBA or Woolworths go under, get your freaking tin hat and your petrol cans and your shotguns because the world's over. Like, so, I'm just saying as a... purely investment discussion, I don't know if that stands up as much as what you think it is.
Mate, it's massive.
Yeah, I totally get that. But I'm just saying it's pure investment. If I'm comparing a house to a 100 shares in CBA or Woolworths, everyone's always going to go shopping. So, that's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, but it's safer to say that if you're buying in a location that's in demand... as in the population's growing, everyone's going to need a house in that location.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not everyone's going to need a CBA or want a CBA share.
Sweet. Okay. So, we finished your two pros.
yeah.
Now, I vibe you, but I think it's... Yeah, sure. Whatever.
This is outrageous.
I like, and everyone listening, like I've got an equity portfolio and I've got investment properties, so I'm for both of them. I'm just, you know, being a bit of a dick, but
again,
A pro for shares.
Yeah, this would be good because I've never heard of any more than two.
No, mate. It's a flexibility of asset classes, John. So, if I want to invest in property, what do I get? I get 100% freaking property.
I can go to different towns and states
still
in
property,
Australia.
Still property. Yeah. Still the one asset class.
But you've still got shares.
Yeah, but I can buy shares. I can buy an asset class of health and medicine. I can buy an asset class of... I'm just thinking.
But it's still a share.
It's still a share, but there's different asset classes.
Well, we've got different asset classes within property.
Do we?
Houses, units, townhouses, apartments.
Okay, let's meet halfway.
Central Coast, Sydney, Newcastle, Melbourne.
Let's meet halfway and say they're both growth assets. Actually, I, I would just say there's maybe more flexibility. Okay, more options.
Yeah.
For different industries. So your industries, you've got townhouses.
Yeah.
Apartments, freehold.
And I wasn't going to go as hard with that rebuttal that if you didn't shut me down with positive number three. So I was playing the yeah that's a good positive, but now I'm like
yeah no
that's game on.
So I think there's possibly some more, I guess, within the asset class of equity.
Yeah,
there could be a little bit more sexy flavor.
Yeah, if you're into that.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And I guess 3B, while I round up my third point.
Yeah, this is Appendix 17.
Yeah, no tenants or drama.
Right.
Or my hot water system or my CVA share can't break.
Yes.
So, I guess ongoing drama and maintenance, there's less to contend with.
Yeah, that would actually would have been, if I was on the other side of the ring, that would have been my number one.
I like to say the best for laughs, so.
Well, it's not actually counted because it's only the top three. And going, for those listening still, go and check out my shares v property video on Solvair on my website.
Which he's going to go back and re-edit after this and take my banging tips.
Because I purely honed in on the leveraging power of property. I put in $100,000 of my own money and potentially buy something worth $800,000.
Yeah.
If that's performing at 5% per annum, that's earning me 40 grand a year.
Yeah.
8 fives of 40. Yep, 40 grand a year. Whereas I can't leverage that high in shares, therefore I'm going to need put more of my own money in to get that same 40 grand return.
Let's just press pause for 1 second, mm-hmm. and I'll just talk about one of the cons of shares, and that's what you touched on with the leverage, yep. okay, and loan to value ratio.
Yeah.
So, if for example I wanted a $500,000 house,
yes,
there is a chance I could get a loan with a $25,000 deposit?
Yes.
Yeah.
95%.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a chance. Okay.
Yeah.
With shares, the banks, what they do, there's not every lender does margin loans. Mm. But what they'll do is they will have a rating of how much they're willing to lend on each individual stock. So
yeah.
the top 200 companies, if they're safe, been around forever, they will lend more for your deposit. So, if you wanted to borrow $10,000 to invest in ANZ,
yeah.
they may say, well, you need to put in $2,000.
Yes.
So, there could be an 80%.
80% okay. LVR.
Now, one of the cons into this leverage and borrowing with shares, if you did the margin loan route, is they call it a margin call.
Mm.
So, if, for example, we purchased $10,000 worth of ANZ shares, and we had to put in $2,000 because mm-hmm. it had an 80% LVR.
Mm-hmm.
If one day, and this happened during the GFC, this is where it all fell apart for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They dipped in value.
Yeah.
So, it was the equivalent of you going over that 20% deposit.
Yeah.
So, the value dropped. Overnight, they say you need to cough up more money to top it back up to the 80%.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, the problem is it can be tricky, and if you did have to top up those shares, that portfolio, to get the LVR reset to back to the 80%, if you didn't have any other money elsewhere, you may have to sell those shares at the absolute worst time possible. So, that's fraught with danger because you're selling at the worst point when they've dropped in value.
Yeah.
So, that's a big con. But just on the margin loan stuff, a lot of times, if you've already got your house and you've got equity in your house, a lot of people, when they invest to get rid of the margin call thing, they may get a mortgage on their house, take the equity out, set it up as a different mortgage, and then invest that $100,000 or whatever that equity is into a share portfolio.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to have the margin loans. Now, it might be tougher in this lending climate to go to the bank and say, I'm buying 100 grand worth of shares, I don't know, the broker might say, you're renovating the house for $100,000.
Yes.
I don't know what. So
you're using my asset class to buy some of your asset class, are you saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying, okay. John.
Yeah. So properties worked for you, and now you're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. So can I ask a question? GFC 2008.
Sure. Yeah.
Property and shares, if we own both, which one dipped lower on an average?
It would have to be shares.
Yeah, definitely shares.
Without a doubt.
Mm.
And that's because, and the whole thing with shares, and if I can go to my second con, or my third, because the first one was it's not a physical asset, which was the counter argument mm-hmm. to your pro.
Yes.
The leverage and the borrowing, that's a con. The third one is the emotional temptation.
Of trading?
Of seeing the share price every single day.
Yeah.
The thing is, with shares, every day, if you had CBA or ANZ shares, you would know every day how much that share is worth.
Mm.
You do not value your property every single day.
No.
So, in your face, you're seeing the value.
Yeah.
And if there has been a correction in the market and the thing's fallen through the floor,
yeah,
just as general market cycles, and the underlying asset is still good. So, if the ANZ share price dropped or the Woolworths share price dropped, the underlying asset's still good. ANZ's still printing money. Woolworths are still printing money, you know, selling, doing their business.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's a crap share.
No.
That emotional side gets in there and people sell because they can't hack it.
Yeah. And there's a bit of, the boredom sets in. I want to transact and feels I'm an investor and a shareholder.
And that's right. And actually, everyone, do yourself a favor if you are interested in the share debate. And, you know, in episode 206, we really talked about don't do individual stocks, do managed funds and EFTs.
Yeah.
Google, trading is hazardous to your wealth, Berkeley. And there's a study done at Berkeley University where they studied all these investors and the individual investors who were trading stock, like I'm buying BHP today, I'm buying CBA today, oh, and I'm selling, that's low and that's high, actually did worse off than if you just purchased the index.
Yeah.
And that's what Warren Buffett kind of says, like, unless you're me, Warren Buffett, don't do what I do because I'm a freak.
Yeah.
And he's just saying, and it goes back to what I say, just shovel money into the index.
Well, he's not massive in diversification in general, Warren Buffett.
Well, no, he just, well, he's a... He goes, Berkshire Hathaway, they basically go in, buy companies for cheap, renovate them, and flog them.
Flick them off.
Yeah. So it's that whole emotional temptation.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going with that, but I guess it was going to, you're not buying and selling your house every day.
Yeah, you're not transacting as often. So that's the positive of property. It's a set and forget, definitely. And the ability, I suppose, when you're selling a share versus selling a property. Now, take it at both times that you're wanting to sell it. You're not having to. You're not forced to.
Yeah.
So,
it's a strategic sell.
Very strategic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if I've got, I don't know, let's say I've got ANZ shares and I want to sell them for $45.
Yeah.
How much will I get for that share when I sell it is based on what that share is valued at that particular day.
Yeah.
However, if I've got a property that's I think is worth $1 million and I take it to auction or I take it to a private treaty, someone may be out there willing to pay 1.1 for it because they emotionally want it.
Yeah.
Whether that's 100 grand more than the actual value is neither here nor there, but there's the potential to maybe gain an extra benefit out of that by
using the emotional vibe of somebody else when you are selling your
particular property. Asset. Yeah. So that's 3B.
Sure. So can you give me just a
con?
So that was your 3B pro, was it? Okay. Righty, I didn't know you were running the show now, but it's all good.
I thought long and hard about these cons and I actually haven't got any.
I've got a con for you, and I'm looking at him. His name's John Pigeon.
So we've got. I've said the transaction costs are higher.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, so let's use an example.
So an example is I've got stamp duty when I buy a property.
Yeah.
If it's not a first time owner's grant.
Yeah.
I've got legal fees and I potentially might have a lender's mortgage insurance as well.
Can I throw you a zinger?
Right, what's a zing?
Property, and this is as a one of your cons. I'll give you this con and you can repeat it back to me just so you can claim it, whatever. property, and particularly in New South Wales, I don't know about the other states, it's probably the only investment asset where you get taxed on the way in, you get taxed during, and you get taxed on the way out. So, I'm talking about the stamp duty on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about land tax if you hit the thresholds,
yeah,
obviously. And then, I'm talking about the on the way out,
yeah,
which is your capital gains tax.
And you know why that is?
Tell me, John.
Because you make so much money on it that the government wants a piece of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Weirdly, if you look at, and again, this is why John and I both agree, you just need to take action and get invested in growth assets,
yeah,
for the long term.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the XY axis and Australian shares versus property over the last 25 years or whatever, they're basically the same.
Correct.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Or even 100 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So, take action and get growth assets. But again, you've got to manage the route you take based on your own goals. And that's why we can't give you personal advice to the thousands of people listening right now.
Yeah.
And because it's just, you've got to, and I say this all the time, personal finance, it's personal. You could have 10 people in the room with 10 different strategies.
Yeah. And the key is to educate yourself or get educated to then take action yourself and not have to rely on someone else. But
that's right.
As I said at the live podcast a few weeks back, it's definitely time in the market. You can't just sit there and for property anyway, say, right, I'm in and out within 12 months or 2 years or 3 years. It's a long game.
Yeah, right? And that's right. And I guess that that paper, trading is hazardous to your wealth, it speaks to that. Time in the market is better than trying to time the market.
And before you cut me off, I was also going to say, well, timing the market is just as important with property or shares, because you don't want to be an expert or a perceived expert to try and time it right every time. If you've got the strategy of time in the market, but you can also put some research into timing it at the right time, especially with property because the transaction costs are there.
Yeah, and
you've got the ability to get a benefit both sides.
Yeah, and a couple of things just on that, John, if I may. You know, a couple of listeners say that I'm a bit ADD, cut people off, get a bit excited. So, I'm working on that, guys. Back off. But the other thing, timing the market, I think there's a couple of differences that we've touched on here.
Yeah.
Number one, I don't time the market. However, because investing is a long game, which means if I put money away and I don't need the asset, it's more of the strategic time. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not trading my shares weekly and timing the peaks and trough on a weekly, monthly basis.
Nah, I get that.
But I am timing if, oh, I need to sell my share portfolio because it's time to buy a house with cash.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the GFC and it's worth half of what it is today. Well, it's like, well, you know what? We're waiting 2 years.
Yeah. And it's not so much selling. It's more the buying. Like when you look at, take the Sydney market, for example.
Yeah.
Been through 3 or 4 years of growth. If we looked at the ideal time to buy in Sydney, it would have been 2013/14.
Yeah.
Was 2018 the best time to buy property in Sydney? Everyone I spoke to who asked me that question, I would say no.
Sure.
So that's an example of timing the market.
Yeah. Sweet.
Period.
Nice. So, your property cons?
So, I gave them, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't listening.
Let's go through them.
Yeah.
So, not as liquid.
Yep.
So, it takes a little bit to get the cash back out. It is... what's my other ones? Let me just...
And while you're looking at that, I've got just a couple of
others. Sorry, no. Yeah, so not as liquid.
Yep.
And the transaction costs are higher. on the way in and the way out.
Sure.
And I suppose the other one is low entry costs.
Yeah.
Is a positive for shares. It's it's a negative for property.
Yeah. And what I would probably say is as well, if you are looking at buying property, realistically, it's over a $400,000 spend, right?
Well, I think it's relative, isn't it? Because, and you might call me old, Glenn, but our first property that I bought was $64,000.
Yes, but absolutely. But
yeah, and I spoke to a lad about 4 years ago who lived in a country town and had $15,000 and was going to live there for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And wanted to live under his own roof. And there was property for around $100,000.
Yeah, perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
So in that example, that worked for him.
Yeah.
And today his property is $170,000, $180,000.
Yeah. So I guess what I was getting at was about the getting advice piece.
Sure.
And like, so I just pumped, you know, $400,000 into a calculator.
Yeah.
So if I'm about to buy a property for the main, you know, within a couple of hours of Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, and it's going to be at least $400,000.
Yeah.
I personally think you're crazy if you don't, and this is a plug for you, John, if you don't call John and actually do his program, which is that coaching thing. And because your program, a 2-year program with you, will not be more than $3,000.
No.
So that's 0.75%
of the $400,000. Yeah.
So if you've saved up, and there's, I know a lot of you are listening who are 18 and 19 years old, and you might only have $5,000, you might only have $400 in savings, a very low amount. Mm. This is not for you, but there are hundreds of listeners listening who message me and say, I've got $50,000 saved. I've got $60,000 saved. If you do not get some type of advice or a sounding board, it might be the $220 clarity call for you, John, or it might be, hey, we're actually serious about having a decent property strategy.
Yeah.
You're crazy not to spend $3,000 with John. It's probably a little bit cheaper than that. I don't know how much he charges. We just do contra deals, don't we?
And I think it's it's,
and I wasn't turning it into an ad for you, but I'm just saying it's now an ad for you, so you're welcome, John. But I'm just saying it's so cheap and it could save you a $50,000 growth mistake if you buy it the wrong part. And in Sydney, we talked about the property clock and the property cycle.
Yeah.
And I might get you to do that again in Melbourne.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
Because it's just so gold to know that stuff.
Yeah. And you just touched on it then. Preventing the mistakes is probably worth more than making the right decision in a way, if that makes sense.
And I know when I shared the photo on my LinkedIn about the Sydney event that we did, I kind of said, you know, everybody's investing and financial journey is different.
Mm.
This podcast, it's all about capping the errors.
Yeah.
Because we're all going to do dumb things. I mean,
I look
in the mirror every day and there's a mistake waiting to happen. And so I'm using this podcast as accountability to
get out of bed.
Yeah, that too. I got out at 8:30 today. Well, oh, no, it was good. My alarm went off at 8:30, but I was already in the shower. So I heard it go off. And you know when you hear it go off and you're in the shower and you're like, oh, it's so annoying, but I want to keep on with it. Anyway, so it's just about capping the errors and ring fencing in and quarantining some issues.
Yes.
And if you're about to drop freaking $400,000 or $500,000 on a freaking property, you're not doing it alone. Mm. You need to invest and get a professional to walk with you.
Yeah.
Because John's not going to try and sell you an off-the-plan property and move you into a super fund and change your accountant and do all this crap.
No.
It's literally, he will just teach you how to make the right decision.
Yeah, and it is that education piece, like, and having that outside voice, I suppose, if we want to continue the plug. But
thanks, Glenn. In the show notes, there will be a link to John's website. Did you know it's in every episode show note, your website?
Is it really?
Yeah. That's how much I care for
forever
you.
Forever grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But jump on that Shares V property video on their website. That's going to
Is that going to be the edited one after this?
No way. I'm leaving it raw.
So my, and just to wrap up this before we get to some questions, my cons about share investing, yes, it's not a physical asset. There's some emotional temptation involved. Leverage is an issue. And I guess the last little catch-all, because they're my 3 points, this is 3B and C.
I'm surprised you could actually limit the cons to three.
Well, because I'm a balanced person, John, and I'm open to property and shares, I like to be well informed on both sides of the fence.
Look, I just like to win.
Some other cons, you know, could be paperwork and extra dividend payments throughout the year and all that crap, you know. And that's kind of why I use the investment bond, because I don't want to do tax, I don't want it in my tax return. Yeah. I just hate paperwork.
Yeah, it's good.
And then
thanks for getting me onto that too.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's fine. Mm. Actually, I need to chat to you about your investment options in that. And then the risks of lack of diversification. So you're all eggs in one basket. You might be, and it ties into that emotional thing.
Yeah.
That you've decided I don't need an index fund. I'm going to just do my own stock selection.
Yeah.
And you get fixated on some freaking startup company who's doing medicinal marijuana and you got 20 grand in that and you don't have 20 grand across 500 investments.
Yeah.
And that's a risk there. That's probably that's a huge con, that one.
Not knowing who the board of directors are, what the company does. And
if that company dies overnight, you might lose 50% of your 20 grand holding.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had an index fund of the top 300 stocks or whatever, that risk isn't on the table.
Yeah. And the other con I would say of shares, if I'm helping you out.
Thanks. I needed your help.
Would, if I put 20 grand into shares or a particular share, that share could actually be worth zero.
Yes.
Potentially. I could lose all of my money. If I buy a $100,000 house, I'm not going to get to the point where it's worth zero. It will still be worth something.
Yeah, so if the house was burnt down, you could still sell the block of dirt.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess you can insure a house.
Yes.
And you know you can actually insure shares, but that's another issue.
Yeah, you can.
Hey, I know I crap on all the time about getting our foundations in place, but our personal protection plan is something you need to do today. I know many of our listeners have got this set up, but if you're one of them and haven't already, go to sortyourmoneyout.com, click get help, and I'll put you in touch with someone who can guide you through. Generally, there's no cost to have an initial chat. And if you're young, fit and healthy, you need to get this stuff in place today. If you've got a family and you're not covered, hey, what if you freaking died? I'm not messing around. You need to get insured. Do it now. And anyone that I refer you to will do it the same way that we teach and we talk about here. And that advice provider, wherever you are in Australia, are happy to have a complimentary discussion with you at no cost to see where you're at and see if they can help. So what have you got to lose? Have a chat today. Jump on to sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help. So that's been a really cool discussion. And I just wanted to do this because it's a very hot topic among people who are, you know, wanting to invest and don't know how, and it could be the strategy. I absolutely want property, so I'm just going to save cash, 40 grand, 50 grand deposit, buy an investment property somewhere.
Yeah.
Awesome. Question, is a con for property lenders mortgage insurance? Is that just the cost of life?
Yeah, well, I spoke about that being the transaction cost.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. You've got to go down your own path, and shares or property, knock yourself out with either of the two.
Just take action.
Just do something.
Take bloody action.
Because there's a lot of, not naysayers, but there's a lot of people around you that can influence your decision with no particular interest in your decision either.
And it was funny, like, because I'm a financial advisor, on the Your Money TV show, I was talking to some people, like, I guess you'd say backstage in the green room or whatever, I was talking to them about investment properties and that, and they were like, but you're a financial advisor. What? I'm like, yeah, but I'm not blind.
I'm well-rounded.
I'm a balanced person. Yeah. I mean, I do both. I give some, I save some, I spend some of my money. Part of that save some is to diversify into property, into super, into which is essentially shares, unless you've got a self-managed super fund. That's another discussion.
Yeah.
And then into another bond. Like it's, and I guess I will just say one thing. There might, and this is a big might, John, there might, and it's probably getting too technical, there might be more tax structure efficiencies with share investing.
Oh, really?
At a lower cost. Do you want to dig that for a little bit?
At a lower cost.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad you finished with that bit.
Yeah. Because I know where you're going. Okay. So, with financial planning, have you got a hard 3-minute exit?
Yeah.
You do?
5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Far out. It's because you were late getting my coffee for the episode. John got me a coffee. Okay. So, I'll be quick. With financial planning, you essentially, if you've got money left over to invest for the long term, and I'm rushing, you need to work out what's the most effective way to grow that money in the most tax-effective manner. It could be, hey, buy an investment property, reduce the tax on your income because it's negatively gearing, and at the time of this episode going live, it could be a different government, it might not exist. That's fast. However, you've got to then work out, okay, so is it property, reduce my income tax? Is it contribute to super, reduce my income tax? Then on the super side, is it set up a self-managed super fund to buy the property and do it that way? With shares, is it investment bond at a company tax rate? This is going really fast.
It's another episode,
it
isn't
is. It actually is. Let's do a part two to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's part two of this.
So we'll end it there. And then the other questions, we've got no questioners, no listener questions today because John's being a freaking killjoy and needs to leave. So see you later.
See ya.
If you are after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. In fact, it's a general advice podcast. But if you do want somebody to talk to, jump onto sortyourmoneyout.com and click on Get Help, and I'll be able to put you in touch with an advisor or a mortgage broker who can actually sit down with you or have a Skype or a Zoom meeting and really work out what you need based on your own personal circumstances.
Remember, we hang out on Insta at MyMillennialMoney. If you're a regular listener, you're welcome to join our Facebook group. If you want more money hacks, be sure to subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's short money hacks anywhere, anytime, right into your ears. Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Gator Proprietary Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.
John's being a freaking killjoy and needs to leave. So, see you later.
See ya.
Killjoy. That was just too hectic.
Yeah, but yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good debate. Like,
but I just don't like... It's funny. It's like, you know, when people talk about social issues, like the environment or political, it's this... almost dogma of one or the other, but it's a practical balanced middle ground that should be the winner.
Yeah.
And a considered middle ground.
Yeah. And it's Labor liberal, isn't it? Like it's it's a choice and it's an opinion. And it's...
But I will say as well, like, whatever strategy you've got, hang your hat on it. And if you can hang your hat on something, there's at least some logic, maybe.
Well, it becomes confirmation bias, right? But people just continue to change because they're not, they didn't have enough confidence in their own ability in the first place.
All right, well, we'll do another episode of that at some point.
Yeah.
So, also, another cool thing, John, I renewed our APRA ACMOS license.
Right.
So, we can play... I just don't play enough music on the show.
Yeah, okay.
So, we've got some good music happening. And I thought maybe, like, when we do these little intro segments, we could you know, have some music playing in the background. You like that?
Is that from
John?
Sounds very essential.
Are you, seriously,
yeah,
are you a hardy or a softy?
When it comes to?
Okay, I got a list here. Your toothbrush.
Hard.
Really? Yeah. You actually can't buy the rock hard ones anymore.
Well, I use an electric one, so. Right,
you just press harder.
Yeah.
I can't use electric, it makes me sneeze.
Of course it does.
I use a Swiss ultra soft toothbrush. They're colourful, they're awesome. Are you a hard or softy when it comes to ice cream? Do you like that soft serve or do you like to scoop it up?
I'd probably prefer soft.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You?
I just love ice cream.
Yeah,
I like gelato. I don't like soft serve as much as...
Yeah, you know. You're probably right. Yeah. I don't either.
Would you say your love languages are hard or soft?
It's physical. Yeah, so it's hard. That's a love language, physical, yeah, touch.
That's right.
Mm.
Do you like your leather hard or soft?
Never wear it.
No.
Soft.
Sweet. There you go.
Yours would be hard.
Oh, no, I'm a softie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm.
Let's have a chat about shares versus property.
Are we keeping this music on the whole time?
No. We'll go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm just thinking if there's any other housekeeping. One thing a lot of you don't realize is that if everybody Googles this, trading is hazardous. I hate editing.
It's been a big week.
Oh, it's huge. Trading is.
You've had four meetings for the week. I mean, this is outrageous.
So, everyone, do yourself a favor if you are.
So, we've already done the. This is your mum. Yeah. This is a request to Glenn from me. Can you please explain the difference between a barrister and a barista? I've never been able to figure this out, and maybe one of you know, but why do you have to study at law school to make coffee? I mean, isn't a barista a barista? Like, isn't a barrister a barrister? Yeah. Look, I've always wondered, and maybe one of you listeners will know, but why do you have to go to law school to make coffee? Look, I don't know, and maybe one of you guys will, but why do you have to go to law school to learn how to make coffee? Isn't a barrister a barrister? So stupid. Have we done with that one, or you want to kick?
Something maybe like, this morning when I was getting my coffee from my local barrister, he cross-examined me.
So this morning, Glenn and I were getting coffee, and our local barrister made us our regular small, long blacks, and he started questioning me, and I had some objections, I won't lie. That's the worst pun. I think if I could choose any occupation, it'd be a barrister, because it's the sort of occupation that has that duality. On the weekends, you're making coffee, meeting people, but during the weekday, you know, you're representing people. You have that best of both worlds, where you have the corporate life and that weekend life. So I think, yeah, a barrister's for me. Oh.
Maybe just do something like that again, but
yeah. Succinct. All right. I think if I could choose any job out there, I'd be a barrister. It's one of those roles where, like, you know, you have a real duality. On the weekends, you're making coffee and everything at your local cafe. And then on the weekdays, you know, you're representing and you're doing law stuff. That sounds cool to me.
On the weekdays, you're putting the system on trial.
Okay. I think if I could choose any occupation out there, I'd probably be a barrister. You know, on the weekends, you're there in front of the espresso machine making coffees for people. But on the weekdays, you're putting the system on trial. You know, that sounds cool.
Excellent.
I think if I could choose any occupation, I'd be a corporate counsel. You know, you get to counsel executives, hear about their feelings, but you also get to make decisions on their legal stuff. Sounds cool. Senior counsel. I think if I could choose any occupation out there, it'd be senior counsel. You know, on the weekends, you go visit the old folks' home, make sure they're feeling, you know, oh, I lost it.
Senior counsel is like
a senior's counselor. No, it's all right. I think if I could have any job, I'd be a courtroom tip staff. You know, you get to help the judges out with their decisions, and it sounds like you get some pretty good gratuities from it. Tip staff? No, that's enough of that one.